thank God for the day. Thank God for everything that we have, everything that we have gone through and things that we have experienced, and growing in the grace of the Lord. Alright, so let's, as you approach the word of the Lord, let's just come to Him in prayer first. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day, Lord. Even though we are still in difficult time, we know the situation around the world is not getting any better. Because humankind, Father, everyone have their opinions and the mind that's working within them, the spirit that is there upon this earth, with all the information and all that things that is out there. There's so many things, so Father, the world of entertainment and the world of science and the world of politics and economics and whatever is out there, Father, have affected the people one way or another. No matter where we live, Father, be in an island like Singapore or in a big nation like America or in this continent of Africa, or out there in Mongolia, Russia or China, or little island out there in the Pacific or in the Atlantic. Everyone, Father, affected by the news that is going around, that's spreading around, the knowledge that the people gain from going to school, and from what it's now we know, we have it on the World Wide Web. People are getting all the information, whether it's the right one or the wrong one, Father, they are just feeding on it. And yet we know that they are out there in Africa, in India, many places out there in the provinces, the rural area, where there are poor people, yet, Father, they are still getting information one way or another on their cell phone and whatever little information they have, Father, they're still putting their mind to it to try to understand. And yet, Father, we know evil will increase. And we are living in such time as this now, Father, that your people around the world, wherever they may be, in richer country or poorer country, and whatever condition that we are in, Father, we ask that your Spirit, Lord, rest upon everyone. Everyone that truly and sincerely, O Father, from the bottom of their heart, love you. Love your word. Love you, Father, with all their hearts. Yes, Lord, with all their strength, with all their soul, and with all their mind. Father, this is the time that you require us, Father, Lord, that our whole being, Lord, is focused on you and rest in thy spirit. And have the full assurance, blessed assurance, knowing that Jesus is mine and in every one of those that love you. Father, we ask for your grace then, Lord, that let your blood and your spirit, Father, and your word promised overshadow everyone, Father, and be a hedge around everyone, Father, in this time of all this pandemic that's going on and all the problem that everyone is facing. But that you supply every need, Father. And now as you approach the word to learn something, Father, we pray that your presence be with us. For I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's continue where we left off last week. As I said, I'm taking time, and after all, we are in no big hurry. And sometimes just look at what the Bible says, you know, when in the last day there will people be running to and fro and not knowing where they are going, what they are looking for, what, you know, all this rushing about. With all this knowledge increase. But this pandemic and this COVID-19 has kind of stopped everybody in their track. And everybody said, well, we've got to kind of sit down and, recollect and think over things, meditate about this and that and reassess our life and take inventory of our life, our activities. And as Christian, I think that is good. Because, you know, as the Bible now is, Serbia, with all this pandemic, all this pestering going over, we are shut into the home and we are shut in with the Lord, and we need to spend our time just examining ourselves and, take inventory of ourselves, what our relationship with the Lord. And so that's why I think we've got to slow down a bit in our understanding of the word and try to grasp as much as we can. And we are still on the subject of deep in the mind. We just want to look at ourselves and within us, how we, our relationship with the Lord. Alright? Psalms 42 verse 7. Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the Lord of my life. And I think that is a verse that, as I said last week, we kind of take it out of context, usually because of the way that the first part of it says, deep calleth unto the deep. And I think it makes a whole lot of sense in just taking out those four words, deep calleth unto the deep, as a response. And what we realize, as I said last week, that this verse is not that. It is how that God called out wave after wave, you know, to come upon us, to try us, like it was how King David was experiencing. He went through a lot of this, you know, testing, chastisement. God is trying to shape him, mold him. And he says here that in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the nighttime his song shall be with me. And I think that is true many times, that when we go through a lot of trials and chastisement, and we come to the place, you know, where God calms us down a little, soothe us with his voice, and soothe us in the nighttime, that he communicates with us so much that we can respond to him, and we can, as David in the last part said, and my prayer unto the Lord of my life. In the nighttime when he sung his word, soothing words, and I could sing to him because his word is singing to me, and I respond, and truly I can just pray unto him and have a restored relationship with God. You know, we are living in this generation where, as I said, people are very fidgety. There's a lot of frustration simply because we are taken up with so much of our mundane life, the things that is in our life. You know, the more that I think about King David, God get his attention. Because what he did, commit the, homicide, you want to say, more or less, you know, putting the general that he loved into the front line so that he could have his wife Bathsheba. Knowing his wickedness, knowing his sin. After Nathan the prophet came and told him a story about the rich man with many sheep and a poor man with only one, and how that the rich man would take the poor man's sheep and sacrifice it, you know, and ask King David how he would judge. And he, as much as King David know what is right, and he know that that rich man is a wicked one, and Prophet Nathan said, you are that man. He came to the realization that being sincere and truthful to judgment of what he looked at, what is right and what is wrong, meeting out judgment, and he's actually judging himself. And this made me to mind what Paul said, that when we come together, we are not coming together for the battle, we are coming together to be judged by the Word of God. And so, I remember in time past, you know, everyone is learning, yeah, so when there are certain messages preached and someone preached, you can hear a sister or a brother say, this sermon is not for me, it's for so-and-so, so-and-so. And that is not the way to look at a message. A message that is preached is for us to examine ourselves. Because God is speaking to ourselves. Don't say, oh, okay, this is not for me because that is for so-and-so. Oh, no. And someone will say, you are using the pulpit to attack so-and-so. Attack so-and-so. So what do you think about Nathan, the prophet, when he came to David with that parable? Was Nathan coming to attack David? Knowing that when you analyze it sooner or later, David analyzed it, he will not realize it is him. Though he may not speak it, Nathan were not to tell him, you are that man, then there. He would come to a realization, if Nathan would just say, good for you, your answer right, and he just walk away. He will make King David to think. Is it what he had done? And that's why when we look at the word, when the word says certain things, we are looking at it and let it judge ourselves. Because our mind is what we should let the Lord communicate with us. Because sometimes, as I said this, we use our mind to block out what we want, what we desire, and filter what we do not like and throw it away. We let our mind filter using the word of the filter. Yeah, this is the word that the Lord speaks. Is this for me? Let me examine whether it is me who is God is talking to me. You know, not about somebody else. Even like what we read here about King David's situation. We say, oh, that's King David and Nathan is speaking to him. That's what he did. But look at what King David did and look at us, ourselves. Have we committed the same thing? Maybe not directly exactly the same, but in some sort of similar way. Are we guilty of the same thing? You know. So, let us not, you know, make our life a closed door. We have fellowship with one another. We need to have an open, like they talk about, open dialogue in politics or an open dialogue in military situation or open dialogue in the religious system among all these other different religions. So when we talk about fellowship, and we should be open up and be truthful and sincere. Yeah, I remember back then, many years ago, brother left the fellowship. He came up to me and said, Brother John, I'm leaving the fellowship. I said, is there any reason, you know, for your leaving? He said, no. I just want to go out and fellowship with the other Christian group too, you know. I said, okay. But apparently after he left, a few months later, a sister came up to me and told me what happened. That she met him, you know, on the road somewhere, and he told her why he left the fellowship. He left the fellowship because I do not believe, that's what he said to the sister. I left the fellowship because I do not agree with Brother Gant's teaching on marriage and divorce. So, you see, there's no sincerity. If you want to leave the fellowship but you don't agree with someone, say the truth, I don't agree with you on this. And you can go, but nobody is stopping you from fellowshipping with me. You know. You just don't agree, fine. But why tell a lie? and there's nothing now, nothing wrong. I just want to go and fellowship with others, but down the road somewhere you told a sister a different story. You see, your sin will find you out. If you don't open yourself up for people then that will tell the truth. I don't agree with you, I disagree with you on this. If you don't want to say it, you harbor it, you say, no, I'm nothing wrong, it's, you know, I just want to go somewhere. Down the road, God is going to expose you. And you found that you have told a lie. You have become very deceiving. You are a deceiver, so to say. You're not in deceiving me, you're deceiving yourself. You see, I was remembering if the brother would sit with me and say, Brigham, I don't agree with your marriage and divorce issue. He said, okay, let's discuss about it. No, he didn't. And what happened? You know, a year or two later, he called me up, brother, to see this minister from Germany, Watt Frank. And he told me about, you know, let's go talk to him. And I was wondering why, because I know Brother Watt Frank stand on polygamy, on marriage and divorce. Well, we went anyway, and there and there he was a witness to what was going on. But nothing much was said other than the denier, Watt Frank. And then, another few months later, the same brother called me up and said, Meridian, he has a man, we're going to see, visit him, he came to Singapore. He has the revelation of marriage and divorce. And I said, okay, let's go. And well, this minister was a new one, of course, and I've said this a few times already. We went to the hotel room, met him, and there was there, the whole thing was exposed. And that's what the brother, immediately when we sit down, he immediately asked the minister who was sitting on the bed against the, you know, sideboard or what they call the big frame. And he asked him, brother, please tell Brother Graham that polygamy is scriptural. Well, then I realized, you know, you instead of coming to, instead of learning, you find yourself in a situation that you have to be taught very hard and shame your own self. You know. So when that man replied, saying, yeah, brother, God, it's very simple. Polygamy is true. And he asked me, brother, God, do you believe that God never changed his mind about his word? I said, yeah, I believe that God never changed his mind about his word. So you see, brother, God, it's so simple. If God don't change his mind about his word, and God allowed King David to have several wives and Solomon to have 1,000 wives. So if your nation allow you to have it, you can have it. So he's only says, it's so simple, God never changed his mind. You see, the brother sitting next to me and hitting my arm here, see, brother again, that's true. See, so simple, I hit him hard with my elbow. I said, you hold your horses. And I asked the minister sitting over there as well, I was sitting beside him on the chair where he was lying on the bed against the headboard. I asked the minister very simple. I said, brother, yes, I believe that God never changed his mind about him. So, but can you answer me a question? Why did God? Was it that God asked Adam and Eve to eat when he first created them? Did he not? And they were quiet. You know, when a woman asked that, they were already quiet. You see, probably something triggered their mind to understand. That, hey, you need to look closer. I said, did not God tell Adam and Eve to eat the fruits of the tree and the herbs of the field? I'm looking very quiet. Hold on a few seconds. And I said, why did God change his mind? That they later on come to eat meat. They have no answer. They kept quiet. The wife was looking at him. And then for a few hours again, I don't want to have it too long because they couldn't answer. So I said, brother, let me tell you this. There is this perfect will of God that God won't change. But then when sin came, God allowed, and this is where the permissive will comes in. And I told him, God did not introduce polygamy. It's the serpent seed that introduced polygamy. And God allowed men later on to have it. Abraham to have more than one wife. And so on. Polygamy, when it was allowed, was permitted by God. But when Christ came, he restored us back to the original. Did you not read the way he told the religious leader? You know, when they asked him, why did then Moses pass a bill, you know, that allowed divorce? And Jesus Christ said, because of the hardness of your heart. But in the beginning, it was not so. I said, do you know that? And do you know why Paul do not allow any man who is a polygamist to hold office in the church? You know, the room was very quiet. Then, of course, something was said that moved away from a subject. Fine, we were there for, I think, about 10 minutes before we left the room. When we left the room, the brother was walking me down the corridor to the elevator. He was telling the brother again, you are right. I said, no, brother, I'm a liar. I literally used the word. I said, no, brother, I'm a liar. He looked at me, I said, brother, Bram's a liar. Paul's a liar. He was wondering what I'm trying to say. I said, have you ever read what the Bible said? Let man be a lie and God be the truth. Because one time we say anything that is not right, it's a lie. Anything that is contrary to the word of God, you make the word of God a lie. But the Bible said, God, the truth. You can find it there. You know. So from that time, I don't know where this brother stands. You see, if he had approached me sincerely and sit down, as the Bible said, you know, here, you see, when we talk about this mind, don't let the mind shut in. We read last week, where in the book of Luke, regarding this, what Jesus said, that we should love God, the Lord our God, with what? With our heart, with our soul, with our strength, and with our mind. Now, your penula, they're almost all the same, right? The heart. But the heart is our feeling. Okay? The strength, the strength means with all the energy, we love Him. Don't love Him like half-heartedly, you know, that, you know, lazily going to church or going to fellowship, that we just drag off our feet. Right? With our soul means the very being that we are. Who we are. So we are Christian. Yeah, then behave like one. Love Him as like you really are a child of God. What about the mind? Huh? Because you see, the five senses, when we look out, you know, the eye is the window to our soul. Yeah? The whole being. So what the eye sees, what the eye's most important sense organ for our, you know, of all the five senses, without the eye, you're really completely gone, useless. At least if you cannot feel, you cannot feel no sensation of feeling, no, you know, a touch. It's one thing, but without eyes to see, without sight, you don't know where you're going. You are probably you're in the dark. You see. So, this, what the five senses, whatever, with the eye, it goes into the brain. This is where the greatest battle ever fought. You know, Brother Bear's message, right? The greatest battle ever fought. It is not about what the battle of Waterloo or, you know, the battle of what, a Nanking or whatever. You know, it's this battle. Every day we're going through it. So I was thinking, the brother, yeah, if you don't agree with me, fine. Sit down and we'll talk.
You know, instead of going to think that, oh, but again, if you don't have the truth, only the white people have the truth, and it's always the white people, it's always those from Europe, America, Canada, or any. They have better knowledge than we Chinese do. You know, God is no respecter of person. God can call anyone to be a minister. And I can tell you this, sometime out there in Africa, in India, they are better ministers than many of these out there in America, Canada. Because usually, as you all know, who controls the world? The rich people. And where the, and the percentage of rich people in the world are usually the white people. But of course, the yellow one in China are catching up. And the technology that they're building, yes. But you see, when you come to the Word of God, God is no respecter of person. He can choose a white, a black, a brown, a yellow, a red, any person to be instruments to get the message out to the people. Amen. But you see, the mind is such that, well, I told many out there in Africa, in India, when we have ministers' meeting, do not think that you are a third-class citizen of the world. Don't you think that God can raise up from among you very able minister to get the word of God out to the people? You don't have to depend on the white. Just because the message came off America, yes, God used them for a purpose to get it out. You see, just the word God used during the Philadelphia age, the sixth church age, when John Wesley's message was, you know how that they launched all these, outreach to many countries. It was in that generation, in the 19th century, especially there, the Bible was going on all over the world. Missionaries went all over the world, China, Japan, Africa, India, or even a bit earlier than that. You see. So, let our mind be focused upon the Word of God, because God is no respecter of person. Alright, let us go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Now, remember this. It's all about this mind of ours, as I said, deep in the mind, we're talking about. So, I pray that after this study, that we really open up. Don't be so fidgety and, you know, that our life is off limit to people, and every time, you know, we get a little worried and stop biting our spiritual fingernail and things like that, trying to figure out, oh, no, my life is private, this and that, and my spiritual life is private. The Bible says, pray for one another. Care for one another. How can I care for you when you are not opening up? If you have a problem you don't want to share, how are we going to pray for you? You know, that's why I don't like unspoken requests. Many times unspoken requests, we don't know what this unspoken request is. So we pray to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, the brother and sister have unspoken requests. You know what they are. I don't know. Yeah, because we're not going to know all things. God knows about it. And there are people that ask them, brother, again, then, you know, if God knows my problem, why should I make the request known? Well, you don't make a request known, you're only yourself with God, Lord, in your prayer. But if you make a request known, everybody, you know, the prayer of the righteous people, righteous men, avail much. Because the more that our prayer reach up to God, more people reach up to God, more that the Lord will hear. Yeah, not because God is short of hearing, but God wants the family to share, you know, the brother and they have a problem, this sister, brother, or my family, would they care for them, right? And that's the way it goes. You see. So, don't have always a unspoken request. Alright, Proverbs 23, verse 7. Verse 6, eat thou not the bread of him that have an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meals, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, say he to you, but his heart is not with thee, The morsel which you have eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet wood. So when you're working with somebody else, and this person is not sincere, alright, and he tells you to eat, but in his heart, he doesn't mean what he said. You get on, man. I remember this same incident that happened to me many years ago when I was in the secondary school. You know, at that time, my father was not working. My mom was the only one who worked as a domestic servant to put food on the table because my father's have a problem with his pyloric, has a pyloric problem, stomach ulcer that causes him pain every time so often that he find hard to do work. So, being that I was in the school, being poor, don't have much, and here we are, I have friends who are from another school. They're rich people. Rich people. So we used to go play football and things like that. And when we go out and play, and then in the, you know, I'm going out in the afternoon and maybe around 4 o'clock or so, well, we will go to a store that sells some food, you know, some snack. So he knows that I don't have the money to buy. But he will accept me and say, do you want some? I'll pay for it. I said, sure, if you give me, you know, if you offer me that, I'm grateful. So it happened once, it happened twice, because we go out and play, and after a game of football, he would always go to that store. So I don't know after how many times, probably 3-4 times, I guess, and he said to me, now this is what he said, and I was shocked. He said to me, he said, you know, Richard, he said, whenever I offer you to pay for your snack, you always say, yes, thank you. I said, yeah, correct. And then, you know, he said, you should not always say yes. You should say, no, thank you. And I was shocked. And I don't know what to say because you offer me something. What do you expect me to say? If you offer me, I'm hungry, you are hungry, you want to eat something. If you want to buy it, I say, Richard, do you want to eat? Then I say, no. Well, how do you feel when I was walking up? You say, you offer it to me. If I said, when you offer something to somebody, you don't expect the person to say no. If you expect the person to say no, don't offer. Am I not correct? So, this is what the verse means. Has a thing in his heart, so is he. He's thinking, when I offer it to you, don't say yes. So when I say yes, he has to pay for it. But you see, the Bible says it's true. When you come to hear of it, I say, they will vomit up the whole thing. Right? So, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, we know, yeah, how people say this, you are not what you think you are. You are not what you think you are. But the Bible actually says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So, what is correctly is, what do you think you are? What you already think you are. So it's not you are not what you think. But you say what you think is already what you are. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now if we I was thinking this person who offered me, if his mind is thinking correctly,
there will be no real trouble. If he think correctly, if he's okay, I don't want to offer to Richard a snack. I'm not going to offer him so that I don't want to pay for it. Then if that is what he wants, then he should not open his mouth. Let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. So if we have a correct thinking in our heart, in our mind, if we have the right thoughts, our thoughts are correctly ordered, put it in proper perspective, then our words that we uttered and our action will be perfect, will be also in the right approach of doing things. You see, if our thought is not, then no. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, of any virtue. If there be any praise too, then think of these things. Now, if we look in the Old Testament between the law and the New Testament of grace, which of these actions demand a greater judgment if we fail to do what the Word of God says? In the Old Testament, you have the law. There is this law that is given. In the New Testament, there is no law, but the grace of the Word of God is given to us, as what is written here in verse 9, that says, those things which you have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do. So, you have the set of law in the Old Testament, you have grace by the gospel of Jesus Christ, which of these two demands a greater judgment if you fail to do it, or fail to do it correctly? In the law, well, you know, straight away, of course, if you commit adultery, you're stoned to death. Huh? You see, in the Old Testament, the law is specific, straightforward. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not murder. If you do, this will happen, right? But in the New Testament, this is not so. The New Testament doesn't give you this law that says, thou shalt not murder. You don't have it. Thou shalt not covet another man's wife. But what the New Testament have is this. It's the spirit of the law of life, and that's why Jesus came and he amplified the whole of the law of the Old Testament. He said, if you look at the person and you hate him, right, you already kill him. So which is a greater judgment? Wow, I didn't even kill him, you know, but Jesus said, you hate him enough, you just look at him, you hate him, you already kill him. If you look after a woman, you covet after her, you already commit adultery in your heart. Wow, this is greater, you know, you amplified so greatly. So, you see why? That's not why the thing that we don't do what is right in the grace age, in this age of grace that we have. There's a greater judgment. Though we feel that we are saved now. In the Old Testament, it didn't say, thou shalt, thou shalt not hate your brother or sister like that you can be stoned to them. No.
You see, the spirit of law of life is make us to draw ourselves. God is trying to draw you away. Let your mind do not exercise and think, oh, that's what the law said. No, exercise what the mind is, what the word of God said, as what is spiritual life. Not what is natural life. And that should cause us to think about this, that, you know, in this life of us, we as natural people. That's why I've said this, the church of God is not composed of a group of natural people upon in a certain place and say, these are the church of God. No, the church of God is universal. It's a spiritual body of Christ. It's what we call it sometimes mystical body of Christ. Right? You see? So, when you talk about therefore the word of God, it affects us spiritually first. And then from the inside, God works it out to the natural. So, if I were to ask a question, do we ever, any one of us, can deny saying that we don't hate a brother or sister? You could say, well, I don't hate the brother or sister, yeah. I dislike his behavior. I dislike her behavior. But we think about it like that. But examine it closer, sometimes we find that we can say we dislike his or her behavior. But you come to the stage, actually, there's a lot of hatred. And we try to pacify it. No, it's not. You know. So, that's why we sing the song, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And renew a right spirit within me." And that's what King David was going through this life. That's why he said, "They call unto the deep, I'm going through all this. God is cleaning me up." And how often do we actually, you know, take a little breather and just examine ourselves and just talk to the Lord? Or do we just do it in the morning and nighttime only? Do we do it in between the day and nighttime before we go to bed? So we need to examine ourselves as often as we can. Because that's what King David went through. And that's why God said, he's a man of my own heart. He draw himself closer to the Lord. And that's what we should remember. The song we also sing, "Draw me nearer, nearer, bless the Lord." You see, we can sing all this song. We can sing the song, "Cleanse me, O Lord." But then do we really look at ourselves in a way that King David is talking about? Deep color to the deep and talk about the mind and all this. Yeah. So we need to. Alright, so as I said now, the law that was in the Old Testament, it was given to Israel. It wasn't given to the Gentile because God was dealing with a people. He has to begin, for God to do a work, that's God's plan. Now, sometimes you just wonder about the plan and purpose of God, the way he do things. If God wants the whole world to know about him, he could simply come down, right? Well, there's a light in heaven and draw people, you know, like people, like all this fantasy movie, you know, where the spaceship comes down and everybody can see his dad, you know, that sort of thing. You know, or Superman flying up there, everybody could see him do things. God is not like that. God is very down to earth. And that's why when he relates himself to man, he relates himself to mankind in the flesh, in Christ Jesus. Even in Old Testament, he relates himself in the flesh, in the prophet. That's what Paul wrote in the book of Hebrew. In diverse time, in old time, remember? How did he speak to his people? Through the prophet. Or in the prophet. But in the last day, in the Son. And they're still in the flesh. God is ready to ask man. So this is when he started doing the work with getting a people so that he could get his word out to them. He has to choose a person. And he chose Abraham. And from him he will raise a nation and teach them something so that this nation will be a peculiar nation. So that everyone, every nation in the world look at this nation and will say, why are these people like that? Then they may learn. That's why I say this. Sometimes we get, some of these theologians, even commentators about the Bible, they're just guessing. You know, it's when I was thinking, where did he get that? Circumcision. He said, even some people commented in some articles, even not the present theology, but back in the days, we would say, during the time of the church age in the beginning, there are people writing and say, Abraham was chosen and was told to circumcise, because circumcise is a common thing, circumcision is a common thing. The people before Abraham were doing that. Says, where did he get that? You see, sometimes I wonder whether this theologian is trying to be smart. The Bible says that this is a covenant. God said that it's a covenant between you and me. So if it's a covenant between you and me, why do the people before that have this? They can't be. Why would people want to circumcise? Look, before the Jew have circumcision, the Indian, the Chinese, the white people, nobody circumcised. We know that. Now, of course, America, I came to know about it in America, is that they want all the newborn to be circumcised because they say it's cleaner, medically it's cleaner. And of course, insurance pay for it. So every family says, oh, yeah, circumcised. Who gets the money? The medical people get the money. Insurance pay for it, whatever, cover the cost here and there. So the same thing here in Singapore, there are a lot of people circumcised. Jonah is circumcised, right? Nope. No, Jamie, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. You see, why? Because it's free or something, because it's covered by this and blah, blah, blah. So, circumcised. And I don't know how many people in China really do that. I don't think many. Especially in China. I don't know how many Indian people practice it. No. You see, it's what is being propagated. If circumcision is something that is supposed to be clean and this blah blah blah, then what did God in the first place not circumcise, and why did God make the pubis? He should not have it. Why God have the foreskin? But when He chose the people, He wanted to show something. And you understand why God had the male circumcised. It's actually proof what happened in the garden. The foreskin of the circumcised, because the sexual organ is what causes the fall. Sex is what causes the fall, the wrong kind of sex. You see? You understand? And the blood is shed. Because blood is involved in the fall. So that's one of the reasons. They said, God said to Abraham, I'll make you a peculiar people. You know. Because by the time that God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees, the whole region out there, the people are practically all idolaters. And that's why God had to call this one particular man. And don't forget, even Abraham's wife, Sarah, do not know even to know the true God. She probably was also an idolater. Because even the later on when Abraham's children came forth, Isaac, Jacob, they even carry idols with them. You see, it's just what we see today in many of the Christian, or we see in church, in many organized religion. Catholicism, Greek Orthodox, and all this, they have all this icon and statue and all this, praying to the saint and all this. This is just part of it. When the Bible said, don't have any graven images before me. And then people are doing that. You see. So, as a main thinker, so is he. So what do you think? So, this law that was given in the Old Testament, that God gave to them, As I taught this before, that the law was given because the children of Israel, the Bible said, they transgress against God. If they have not transgressed against God, God would not have given them the law. But as Paul later on said in the New Testament, the law was given to them so that, well, like a carrier, they can bring them to the, you know, or like a schoolmaster, bring them to a place where they could understand. You know what a schoolmaster is, you know, a disciplined master. When you talk about discipline, if a student misbehaves in a school, the discipline master will discipline him according to the rule and regulation that this student is supposed to know. So the same thing is, the Lord is giving this law to the children of Israel to carry them until the gospel comes. Now, we are believers here. We are supposed, as Paul said, the thing that he taught us. Okay, just like we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 now. Let's just go to that. Chapter 6. You say here, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, or some version would use the word once baptized, which I think is not quite correct. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partaker of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they have crucified to themselves the Son of God of flesh and put him to an open shame. Now, we have learned all this. These are the principles of doctrines of Christ. And Paul said, we should not always keep on going back to these things. So if God will, we should move forward. And of course, it's God's will for us to move forward. Right? So the thing is right now is that if we keep on making the same mistake in order we have understand about the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is a schoolmaster, so to speak, to say in our life. He's a tutor, our tutor. He will take us to the Word and discipline us. Do you say, no? That's the reason why the question is asked. Why did God give the children of Israel the law? It's because they have transgressed, so they give them the law so that they could be carried and be disciplined by their schoolmaster until they come to the place of the gospel. So the Holy just started. And you know what Paul said? He was looking forward to the coming of Christ. In fact, actually, he thinks that Christ is coming. So those who are married, act that you are not married. Those who are not married, looking for a wife, don't look for a wife, you know, stay single, be like him. But it didn't happen. And Paul later realized, yeah, Christ is not coming so until there is a falling away of the faith. So that's when epistles were given. That's the reason when the epistles were given. You know why the epistles were given? Because the early church also began to slide away. Just the children of Israel, they slide away, and God has given them the law. When the church starts to slide away, they saw the epistle. God has to give them epistle, because even the apostle, the 12, they start to become so traditional. And when some Paul later on comes and says, we know Jesus no more in the flesh. But you see, Abraham and the Lamb, the apostles, those who know Christ, walk with Christ all the time, they are so much attached to the flesh. Just like today, the many followers of Brother Branham, especially those that were alive, they have been with Brother Branham. And they can always testify, I was with Brother Branham. I ate with him, I went hunting with him, I slept in the camp with him. I attended his church, and did this, he did that. You know, the thing is that our mind is focused on the flesh. And that's what happened in the apostles, and they're still attached to Christ in the flesh. That's why they cannot move. That's why Peter and others were still very Jewish. Not that they cannot keep the feast and all that they want to, but they're so attached to them. And Paul came along one out of due season. Whether he brought out certain things, wow. The apostle cannot understand it. He said, man, what are you talking about? What this? You know, during the Jerusalem Council, they were discussing about what do we do with this Gentile that now received the Holy Ghost. There were all this debate going on, and finally things, okay, we tell them they don't need to be circumcised. We just tell them a few things. First, don't eat food offered to the wild. Right? Or any strangled. Anybody that's strangled. Don't take blood. And keep away from idols. Do not fornicate. Right? When Paul was there, Paul wasn't one of them. He was not a big guy at that time. He was at that time just a prophet and a teacher with others who were like him. You know, he just knew what he was told to do. But later on, when the epistle began to come out, because when God began to reveal, because when Paul was preaching that to the Jew, they do not want that kind of a revelation that Paul had. And this is what exactly the mind of these people. You know, when Paul went up to what's this place called, a place in Ephesus, where he saw some of John's disciples. Remember? He asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? He said, no, we don't even know what that is. We're just a follower of John. We only know John's baptism. And then Paul began to expound them. Now, what if these people, at least the Bible shows us that they were not like modern day believer of William Marion Branham. You see, these people were believer of John the Baptist. Now, if Paul were to tell them, well, you know what John preached was like this, 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 for that thing, but now this is what you should do, baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. You think some of them say, hold on a minute, Paul. We don't want that. We are a follower of John the Baptist. Everybody said it, thus saith the Lord. If we did exactly what he said, and that's enough. What do you think he didn't make it? What do you think God sent Paul there for to them? And I say this, if there is any group of people, of believers, they really are born again and have the Holy Ghost baptism and believe the Word of God, if they are out there somewhere, God would have to send them the apostolic ministry, the apostolic word to them, to build them up. God cannot just send them, oh, I'm born again, I'm baptized in Jesus' name, I'm baptized, and they're not moving. God wants His people to grow and move. Not in the day of what the believer of John, but John said this, John said that, John said this, John said that.
they will never grow.
But today we have the same, we have these people who follow Brother Branham, the Branhamites. Everything is what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, this is all that you cannot move forward. Your mind is already clogged up. You cannot move. That's the reason why the word was given to us. The Bible said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible told many, many times it's all about this thing here. Barabbas preached about this. Greatest battle ever fought is here. But people are not discerning. The mind is the... What is the mind? It's just a place where information are get taken. And you have to, you know how to put them together. Back in, let me see, how many years ago? Probably about 20 years ago. When I started the website sometime earlier, and there was this man who came across my website. I think he got my address, or he got it from the book, my address on the book or something. And then, well, we had the post office box. He started to send me a lot of booklet. He made himself, cyclostyle it or printed it or Xerox or whatever, and he stapled it together like a booklet. And he sent a whole lot to me, and what was in it? It's a whole lot of quotes of Brother Branham. Quotes and quotes of Brother Branham. Anyway, I just read through what he had to say. And then I come to a place where he says something that was, wow, something new to me. Some new revelation. I find it so amazing. He was interpreting what he believed Brother Branham was telling him, what Brother Branham was saying. But apparently it was not what Brother Branham said, but he concluded anyhow. He said, the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Remember what Paul said? The coming of the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God. And then he said about Revelation 10:7, and also what John, the beloved John, said when the mighty angel came down, and how they swear, and then God said not to write it, to seal it, and he said that, go and take the little book from the hand of the mighty angel and eat it. Right? So now I want to let you know how the mind is. If you really want to know about the Word of God, exercise your mind. You need to exercise your mind. Our faith needs to be exercised. We have to exercise it with the Word of God. Because when you go for... Now, if you want to be a bodybuilder, you want to have a good physique, you go to the gym. A gym trainer, a trainer, right? Will give you instruction how to do. But if you don't want to go to the gym, you want to do it outside at home, you have to follow instruction. You might have a list of how to do it, right? Correct. If you don't follow an instruction, you might wreck the whole body. Make your body a mess. Alright, so there's an instruction, there's a manual. So the Bible is our instruction manual. You understand what I'm saying? So, to exercise our spiritual being, we got to follow the instruction of the Word of God, and we have to exercise it. Discerning as well. So I was thinking, okay, this man here, he got my address, he sent me this bunch of quotes of Brother Branham, with the booklet, and then he gave his opinion on what Brother Branham was saying, and he said this, okay, I got the revelation about the shout, the voice, and the song, and the little book. You see, we look at the types in the Old Testament. It's a kind of funny, very interesting. So he said, look at that of the Old Testament, look at the children of Israel, they were God's people out there in the wilderness. That is the tabernacle. You see the tabernacle there? The shout. It's on the outside of the tabernacle. The people were shouting when the mighty angel, the cloud, and the pillar of fire came down. They were shouting, and the trumpet were outside, they were blowing. Okay. Now what about the voice of the archangel? The voice of the archangel? Oh, it's inside the tabernacle. So, the voice is inside the tabernacle. That's where God speaks to the priest. Okay? And then the little book. The little book that Joshua was told to eat. It's the book of Brother Branham. You think about it, it's the book of Brother Branham. Wow. Interesting. How did his mind arrive at that? That's what a lot of people know what they do not know. They think they know what they do not know. Huh? That's true. But what he thinks he knows is what he is. And he continues to believe. But you know, so many people who are like him, I don't think he's around anymore. There are even greater men that I know that I faced in Africa, India, and the Philippines. They are no longer around. They have left the message. The message. Not the real message, but the message they make themselves of what Brother Branham said. Yeah. Where are they today? They challenge me, but they're not around. They're so sure that they have the revelation, but they're not around. You see, the revelation is not according to the word. The revelation according to their mind. I want to ask you the question, brother and sister. What is in your mind? I mean, you said that you're Christian. We are Christian. We are believer. Bible believer. What's in your mind? It's your mind, Brother Branham. Is your mind Paul? Is your mind Peter, John the Baptist? What's in your mind? You're going to take these people out of the equation of your mind. Get them out. Leave the Word of God in there. You understand what I'm saying? The mind should be filled with the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you say, Brother Abraham said, okay, Brother Abraham said, but do you know what Brother Abraham said? If you know what Brother Abraham said, then the Word should be there. Not Brother Abraham. You know what Paul said? Yeah, Paul said this. Okay, good. Do you know what Paul said? Leave the Word that you have, understand as Paul's revelation. You get it. Let it stay there. Move Paul out of the equation. That's why I told those brethren in the Philippines, in India, and Africa, I said, whenever you want to quote, don't quote me. Get the revelation, study what I've written, study what you know I've taught you. Use the Bible and back it up. Never quote me. You see, that's what, you know, the Bahama doesn't like. When anybody quote me, you are the gunman. But they don't realize that they quote the program so much and they are Branhamite. You see. And because somebody used, you know, my brother also. He had a discussion with a group of people down in Davao about the Godhead. And they have the certain opinion that they have, these others, about what Godhead is. And brother also was sharing with them what the Bible is. And then after that, they say, oh, that is Brother Gunn's teaching. And brother also said to them, did I mention Brother Gunn? Did I quote Brother Gunn to you? Did I show you the Bible? And I guess that shut your mouth. You see, when you use the Bible, nobody can say anything. But there are people that always say, oh, that's Jackson's teaching. That's Gunn's teaching. You're Jackson eye, you're Gunn eye. And that's the same over here in Singapore. The Peter Wong. In road and say, you follow your Gunner. I said, do they quote me? You know, the Gunner have left you. You were referring to Peter Ong and those other few others. I said, Were they actually my disciple? Did they quote me? Oh. You see, when you are, that's what you talk about. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember, love the Lord Jesus with thy heart, with thy strength, with thy soul, with thy mind, and thy neighbor. Who is thy neighbor? The one sitting next to you. Huh? Remember, Jesus asked, you know, who's neighbor? Who's my neighbor? You see, the thing is this is the mind. When we don't like someone like this that accused me, and that's why they speak evil of me, and they will say any lies. And to them, a lie is no problem. God can forgive me. Father, forgive me because I've lied and speak against Brother Gan. You know, you think God listened to your prayer like that? You think God listened to your prayer like that? Did not Jesus Christ said when you do that, you leave your gift at the altar and go and meet right with the brother? Do you know that? Before you can come to the Lord and talk to Him and this and that and request Him, and you have sinned against a brother, have an ought with the brother, you lay your gift at the altar and go meet right with the brother before you come back. But a lot of people don't think much of it. The Bible teaches it. That's why I'm saying, hey, look, your mind. What are you thinking? This is, the word was given here as a school teacher for us too, to guide us. But yet people are still rebellious. You want God to give you more epistle? And yeah, there are more epistles, so to speak, because God is still speaking by His ministry to get us to the place to understand. There are certain things that God hates. And one of them is sowing discord. And what the Bible says about liars cannot enter the kingdom of God, right? But they don't do much of it. And then some of them wonder, Lord, these people are saying they're born again. They love you. They go to church, hallelujah, amen, to the message, to this and to that. And yet your word shows the liar cannot enter the kingdom of God. And they have lied against a brother and sister and they don't think much of it. When you sin against a brother, you're going to make right with the brother, not make right with God. Got it? If you come to the, if you have sinned against a brother, you come to him, brother God, I sinned against the brother. Please forgive me. What have you asked me forgiveness for? You have not sinned against me. Go to that brother. Sadly, the mind is not right. That isn't what is so true. Because we cannot, you know, we are afraid of people examining us. We always want to put on the front. I don't know why people do that. You know, as I said this for many years, there are many that have done evil against me. I've never spoke out again about bring up their name until the last 10 years or so. Then finally I realized that you have to call out the name of Paul. Because this is not, it is not call out their name because they preach false doctrine. That's their own problem. But if they preach of something contrary to the word of God, against to the people that follow me and they twist the word, like what Paul spoke, called out the name of Hymenaeus and Philetus. Because this is serious. Because the faith of the people will destroy because they said the resurrection is over. And they destroy the faith of me. Now, Alexander speaks so much evil against Paul. Do so much evil work against Paul. Paul didn't mention what he did. The Bible didn't tell you that, but he called out name. That must be something serious. They need to be aware of that person. That's what Paul said. Take heed
know them who labors among you. Huh? Those who labor among you, you need to know who labors among you. Don't put all kinds of people, they say, oh, I'm the preacher, and you put them in the pulpit and let them preach all the garbage. So, if we just got ourselves, we don't want to share, we don't open up and really have fellowship and be sincere opening up to one another, I don't think you are going to grow. Alright? So, we need to have the Word of God implanted in our hearts. When we say we are born again, then we should let the Word grow in us. Because we are no longer as possible, we are no longer our own. We are purchased with a price. So, we are purchased with a price, so our life is no longer ours. Possibly, I'm a prisoner of Christ. I'm no longer my own. That's to say, this life is under a new management. Right? We don't control us. We don't have the right to ourselves to do whatever we want just because we want to do it. A prisoner has no right. Titus, chapter 2, verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this pleasant world. Right. So, it's surrender. The ultimate target of God, God, you see this mind, as I sometimes, it's a battlefield. The devil is targeting you through the mind. The devil cannot get at your heart first. Neither can get at your soul. But the devil will always go through the mind first. This is where the battle starts. This is a battlefield it starts. And if you are not well acquainted with the warfare or the cunningness of the devil, and you think that you are strong, and as I said, there are three spirits, the spirit of God, the spirit of the devil, and your spirit. And you think that your spirit is very strong to fight against you are going to lose. You know that, don't you? Yeah. So, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are spiritual. They're tearing down the strongholds. And so you have to use the Word of God. So, if you have this battlefield here, and you know you are raging, the black dog and the white dog are fighting, how are you going to win? How are you going to do it? Now, the very Indian chief, so Brother Bang, if I feed the black dog, the black dog wins. I feed the white dog wins. So, how are you going to feed them? Because, remember this, as much as we are Christian people, as much as we are born again with the Spirit of God, there is always this self-will. Because that is where the devil comes in. And the white dog is there to guide. But the devil comes in, a black dog, and is a few very ferocious Rottweiler or whatever, come against him and start to bite and all this. And then you're tussled, you know, your mind is going this, you know, you're tempted, the devil is targeting your mind. And if you don't want to get it of it straight away, what do you think is going to happen? It becomes a war. Not just a battle. It becomes a war. I remember when I went to America in 1979, and then after that in 1980 I went with the family. Zoe was already born, and she celebrated her first birthday in the state. And Zora was about 4. So on the way back, we decided to have a few days in Hawaii, you know. Because since it's halfway between the mainland of America and Singapore, so we said just to go there for a few days. And of course, because, I just want to see the beach of Honolulu, Waikiki. You hear this, because that time the television popularity was Hawaii Five-O. You remember that? So, and so when the plane landed, it was around 6 o'clock, so by the time we check out and check into the hotel, everybody was tired. We had dinner quickly, and then the children were so tired, went to bed, and Tracy was also very tired, so went to bed too. So it was around 8 o'clock, so I said, I might as well get out and just walk. You know, Waikiki is just like Orchard Road, but only that the road is between the beach and all the row of shops. And hotels are here everywhere. So I just took a walk. Just walk around that time. And you can see all those busker, throwing fire, what they call that, fire sticks, and blowing fire out and doing some magic and tricks and whatever. So it's just like Singapore, Orchard Road, where the busker is. And I just walk around. And so as I walk, here came some footstep behind me. And then a young girl appeared right by my side. Young teenage girl. I think she's probably around 20 years old, or maybe less, I don't know. So I was already at 30 years old. So she walked by, she come to me and said, "Hi." Hello, girl. He said, "You want a date?" I said, "No. I'm just going to walk in." Walk a few more steps, she come up to me. "You don't have $20 or $50? I can't remember how much was it now. He said, "Yeah, I have it. Don't you want a date?" I said, "No." Keep walking. Let's move away. So I walk down the road. Alright, seeing all this, going to the shops, come out the shop, okay, continue. And as I continue now, and not far from that, another hotel, not far from the hotel, there was another girl came up to me and the same thing. I says, "No." So I turned around and walked back. So as I turned around and walked back, there was some noise behind me, and then I looked, turned around, someone grabbed the girl for the deal. And I continued to walk back. As I walked back, the shop would be on my left now. And then I saw this commotion going on in the pharmaceutical store. Yeah. I was just walked past the door, and there was this commotion there, and looking, there was this man, I think he looked Hispanic, big guy, and start to shout at the young girl. Raise his voice. Said, "You want me to call the police? I told you don't hassle me. You whore." So the young girl left the shop. You see, Waikiki today is, after several years later, the mayor of the place cleaned up all this act. Become a nuisance. You see, what I'm telling you for is this. If your mind is not focused, anything that come up, there'll be a temptation. Right? And it gets you. So when anything comes that is wrong, says no. Don't think about it. Don't stay and think about it. Because this is where the battle starts to fight. Right. And it's so sad that there was a brother in Africa, in Malawi. He passed away already. Worked with him in the early years, in the early 90s. It's so sad. He's good looking. He has a very pretty wife. But one day when we were
When I was in Zambia, we invited him to, Brother James came from Zimbabwe, and we called him up from Malawi to go to Zambia for the convention. So Brother, I stayed in the hotel, and Brother James Erumo, you know, stayed with somebody else, and he came and met me, and he was wearing a t-shirt, and I was also wearing just a plain shirt, you know. And then we were waiting, and then here came these ministers from Malawi. Oh my, I couldn't believe Bob or James and I were looking at him, and he looked at me and says, what? He was dressed in coat, very well dressed, nice coat, one color suit, I think it's kind of what we call that, kind of orangey brown coat and trousers matching, a nice tie, and has a nice attaché case. And he has a button here that, you know, Jesus saves, something like that. So when he came, I said, we greet him. I says, why, brother, do you dress like that? You know, you should dress like common people. Don't dress so much, so nicely. You're drawing attention. Oh, brother, Jesus Christ, you know, my Lord is a multimillionaire. He's rich. And he says something to this effect, that I should be dressed nicely too. You see, that's why this charismaticism and Pentecostalism has this great influence upon a lot of preachers, even in the end-time message. So, well, anyway, we have a talk, and then Brother James went back to his place of residence, and this brother went and said he could look for somebody in the market. So I went back to the hotel. Around 6 p.m., I came down and eat at the restaurant. I wanted to go across the road and buy some chicken or something across the road. So when I stepped out, it was 6 p.m., the sun was setting. The road was kind of quiet, you know, and kind of far. The road is kind of big over that side. So I said, wow, I got to go there. I don't see many people. I said, better to be safe than sorry. Let me go to the restaurant and in the hotel and just eat. So I ordered something. I sat down there watching the door because I'm facing the door. Half an hour later, as I'm waiting for the meal and I'm eating, here came this Malayan brother. He came in and stood there at the door. He saw me, and I looked at him, he was like he's seen a ghost, and he was pale, he was so shocked. I would look at him, I said, what's wrong with him? But he's just standing there. He was just standing on there at the door. Oh, I realized some problem with him. So I went up to him, got up on him, and then he said, what happened? I started crying. I was mocked, I was robbed, I was this. His attaché case was not there with him. He told me what happened. He went out there to the market, the open market, to look for a friend. When he was there, a group of men robbed him, took away the attaché case, took away, I don't know what else he had, they wanted to take away his shoes. He said, please don't take away my shoe, I couldn't walk. So they left his shoe alone. You know, he took his wallet. So you see the problem. I've been telling him this many times, don't dress like that. But a few years later, he called me out in Singapore. I said, Brother Gang, please send me $1,000. I said, why? So because I'm dying, I have a disease, I need $1,000 for this medicine. Only this medicine will help. I said, you're going to tell me what it is. But again, I'm dying and you're asking me what disease I'm suffering from. I said, yes, I need to know. He refused to answer me and he put his phone down. A couple of weeks later, I got information he died. What he died of? He died of AIDS. He traveled to Africa, South Africa, very often from Malawi. And he'd been sleeping, you know, being tempted with all this prostitute. And that's how he got into it. And that's, you know, why a lot of African people, preachers, have fallen into fornication. The mind. What is the mind doing up here for you? Do you have the word of God to guide you, or do you just
think that you can fight against it. Temptation comes, brother and sister, very subtle. You may not be aware at first. You think it's nothing. It slowly, slowly, slowly eats into you. And one day, when that temptation is too strong, you just go and you give it up and you fall into it. Temptation is not a sin. Huh? But when you fall into it, it is a sin. And the Bible said the end result is it brings death. So, deep in this mind, I'm really interested in this subject. The more that I study about this, how do we control it? You cannot control your mind without the Holy Spirit. That's why King David said, "Search me, O Lord, know my heart today. Try me and see if there be any wicked sin in me," right? That's reason why daily we examine ourselves. Not just the morning or the night. Every day while they shall, the more that I grow in the grace of the Lord, the more that I realize how important it is to have this word. Because it's only the word that builds a hedge around me. Huh? And that's why Satan told the Lord, "Remove the hedge and see what happened to Job. He will curse you and die." You see? And you know, yeah, God removed the hedge, and God said, "I'll remove the hedge, but see that you don't touch it. I mean, pick his life. Do whatever you want, you can." Because Job had known the Lord. And yet with all the things that is coming to him, yeah, he was frustrated. Yes, he was frustrated. Yes. Children died, all his property gone. And yet, the word still stayed in him. Even the wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die? God had blessed me so much. Why would I curse him?" Huh? So I just close with this now and we shall continue. Just want to let you know the experience I've been through and the knowledge and the things that I've learned regarding the mind, deep in the mind. And I want you to really continue to revise and go into the word of the Lord and learn. And always have the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that word. Bless you, Lord, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your life that you've given us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ, Father, your only begotten Son, whom you love, and you are willing to give him as a sacrifice for us. The Lord, we can be restored back to you. Thank you, Father. Let thy word, Father, Lord, be a constant keeping in our whole being, Father. And let our mind always remember those words. And always look at the faith of our God. And always have that truth, Lord Father. That holiness, the godliness, the patience, the virtue, anything, O Lord, that is of any virtue, Lord, let these things be in our mind. Meditating upon it night and day. And you keep us, Father. Thank you for your love, Father, Lord. I ask that you bless the rest of the day now in Jesus' name. Amen.